For those who don't know me, my proper name is Robert Murray Sr. Most of the time they call me Bob, sometimes Captain Bob, or I think my church given name is actually Baba. I want to make sure that you know that I am not a preacher, but I do know that one of my gifts is teaching. You have no idea how hard it is for me to be in front of you, to serve in this position. And I take the responsibility very, very seriously. God has allowed me and even an opportunity to lead others in direct operational life safety things, fires, hurricanes, major disasters that I am so comfortable in. Some people ask me if I'm actually there sometimes or am I a different person. When I have to prepare to stand before the congregation or to stand before the church, I toss and turn all night. I pace in my yard and talk to myself because I want to admit to you that I am certainly completely unworthy to represent the church in front of you today. So when you hear me today, I pray that you hear the Holy Spirit. I pray that you hear the passion that I have about being strong and being courageous. And may I also ask you to do everything you can to turn off so many of the distractions that are going on literally outside these doors, in your home, in your workplace, in whatever theater that you're in. Because today is a day that it may be very important for us to listen, to retain, and to hopefully apply these words of encouragement in our daily lives. The other thing that I want to make sure is taken care of is, if there's anything that I have ever done to you, your family, this church, that I need to repent of, I stand before you as a man asking for forgiveness. Because the last thing I want to do is interfere with what I believe God would have us to hear today. So please make sure that you know that I mean that with all sincerity. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for another day to serve you. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you for all our families and friends that are tuned in on the social media platform. I pray an extra blessing over them, Lord. And for all my brothers and sisters that are here, those I know that I don't know, would you please unify us today in this building? Would you please help us? Because the world is crazy right now, and things are so unpredictable. Would you just help us to be strong and be courageous as we move forward from this moment in time? And I ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Children to their classes right now. Thank you. Sorry, Bob.
I'm in trouble?
I was just sending our kids out.
Okay. Those who know me too, I'm not a sit guy. This is going to be very tough for me to stand here. So if I transition out, just bear with me. Okay, I see Linda giving me the eyeball because she's probably my most recent student now to think about it. So I'll let that be. Prior to the COVID-19, my time was pretty much measured by routines that were based on location, weather, seasons, any urgent needs that may transpire, and to some degree a lot more freedom that I probably didn't even realize I had. Some of my routine was actually based on my self-diagnosis of can't sit still, and coupled with a degree of anxiousness that's normally my normal day. Now, with the COVID factor added into my routine, a lot of times my days based on how many times I wash my hands, restricted freedom, urgent needs, and trying not to be lazy in the early months of lockdown. One big ticket item that I now face is trying to truly capture some true moments hanging out with all I meet, and really trying to listen, and not to rush to move on to things that really have no lasting value. Some of you may say, I'm getting old. Well, yes, I am. But on the other hand, I have really been trying to focus on things of better quality. May I encourage you today to really listen and spend some quality time with those in your family and in your community. COVID-19 has also made me realize that simple services to others can be effective. And maybe God's trying to help us to refocus on the fact that even though we have some amazing programs and costly processes that we go through, but the simplicity of our witness and the simplicity of the gospel sometimes has to be something that we don't constantly hand off to a program or hand off to a system to manage. It truly is our responsibility. So maybe in dumb Bob theory, maybe God's trying to make us understand that some of the direction that we may have been heading in is really not the direction that he would prefer us to be in. For his plan, for your family and our community, may be entrenched more in us being in the front lines and not relying on all these other processes in order to do that. We need to be in a position where we are not solely relying on everybody else to bring someone to Christ and depend solely on God to give us the wisdom to do and to say the right things when there is a level of opportunity for us to serve. I have also realized that during COVID, that speaking for me, that we are on a home front, there's a dangerous level for us that can be hooked in the aspect of social media or information, shall we say. I read an interesting article during this process that said that about 25% of the people, if they watch some type of news channel or news item every day, that for about 6 or 7 hours out of the day, that information can basically add more stress to your life than normal. Thought that was kind of interesting. The routine of reading information during this time in the morning for me has really made me regroup. I mean, significantly. Every morning when I got up, my discipline was always coffee, this iPad, and I have so many little, like the, you know, those tabby things, you click on it and it goes right to like BBC, Baltimore Sun, Carroll County Times, Hartford County Times, and I would like inundate myself with all this stuff, then head to my Devo time. I have found that in order for me to be bold and courageous, I need to be very, very careful what I'm allowing coming into my eyes, my ears, my brain, and in my heart. It may sound very simple, but I want to make sure that you understand that during this time in our life, we had better have our guard way up. So now I've decided to take some control over that, and I want to encourage you to do that. So I figured out a way on this computer, hoorah, that I've gone in and deleted all my recent searches. So now when I pull my iPad up, there is no little button to push, if that makes any sense. I physically would have to type in something. And as soon as I start typing, I was like, no, knucklehead, you agreed in the morning that you weren't going to do that, and maybe you'll start feeling better. Where are we with that? What are things that are interfering in our life in order for us to be strong and courageous as we move forward? I believe that that's one more thing that Satan is weaseling his way into our lives and having such a draw on us during this time when we've been required to, shall we say, shrink our footprint, stay within the confines of the house. Today, as we move forward in the sermon that I have prepared for you today, I've decided to take the word courageous and break down each letter in that word to help us better understand, hopefully, in simple language, some ideas that I have been pondering for months during this time, shall we say, of challenge in our life. So the first letter in the word character is for C. A general definition is that the mental and moral qualities that are distinctive to an individual. Now, I would like you to take a moment and just think about some of what you would consider your qualities. And I'm not talking about lack of hair, height, all that stuff. But what do you think are some of your personal qualities? And then at the same time, and I realize we're trying to remain COVID compliant, I challenge you to ask someone very close to you what they see as a quality in you and compare your list. You might be surprised at things that are said, but I do that for two simple reasons. Number one, sometimes, and I'll take all the pressure off of you today and I'll just speak for me, sometimes what I think is a characteristic of me as I move through a quality is completely misinterpreted to the people that I'm around. I'm sometimes not the person I think I am. And eventually, it could lead to a point where it's obstructing my ability to communicate with them, obstructing my ability to really share that I am that I'm interested in their lives, that I am concerned for them in their aspect of the community. I also want to guard you to please respect what they say to you and not take offense to it and wig out and walk away, but maybe really compare your list and begin to pray. It is so important that we lead by doing. There is nothing worse than a barking dog, and I will speak for myself. Especially a dog that does not stop barking. My brother-in-law had a barking dog to the point that I didn't even like going over his house because that dog would bark if he had laryngitis. He would never stop barking. Have you ever barked before at home or work or in the community? Do this, move on, get it done. Move out of the way. Why isn't it done this way? For you see, leading requires doing and being in the front as a strong example and as calm a voice as we possibly can. And when we're in the front and we are leading and we stumble, we need to get up, tell the group that we are sorry, and move forward. So I'm curious, how's your bark today? I really want to encourage you as we move forward on being bold and having some courageous character that is very, very important that we develop a view from God's perspective. That we really develop an action plan. What am I going to do now in this season in my life with whatever may be going on? And how am I going to affect the community? How am I going to affect the spread of the gospel and the completion of the Great Commission during a very, very challenging time? Maintaining a calm voice, one that is sprinkled with grace, is even another critical factor that we may want to consider. Every one of us is being drawn by the Holy Spirit to be in the game, especially now. I think that sometimes we're just so concerned about tomorrow or so concerned about what's going to happen that sometimes we just can't really tune in or hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. And also, please be on high alert for those things that, shall I say, are getting in our way, interfering. And I just use a simple example about the news and the media that has just gotten, you know, kind of ruined me. It's disheartened me at times, especially now during this time and season with the COVID. There's a scripture verse that I'd like you all to look at, out of Romans 5, 1 through 4. Why don't you take a moment and just open up your Bible net. And can I encourage you real quick on this? First of all, I am so grateful that Pastor Chris and Morgan accepted the call to come here. And I can't imagine what it's like being up here, and he's trying to motivate us and making sure that we're staying in tune to God's Word. And we really don't even take any time to like open up our Bible and look at him and read with him. Even though I have it up on the PowerPoint and I have it in front of me and I have another reference here, I want to just make sure that we're all together on this as we go through that. So if you're like me and you got to put your finger on it, you can read slow or read fast. But I want to make sure that you understand it's real important that we're all together on this as we move forward. That. So Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. Romans 5, 1 through 4. The next letter in Courageous is oath. And again, a simple example and, shall we say, a dictionary perspective is a solemn promise regarding one's future action. I am not sure if you officially took an oath of office, and I scanned through this room for those that have been in the military, and I know I have another brother here that served in with Baltimore County when there was an aspect of an oath that you had to take officially, shall we say. But I'm not sure if any of you have ever really had to take an oath of office or something that you had to sign in regards to what you were going to do as you serve. But I can look back at a time when I can remember that when I took my oath. And I can honestly and truly tell you that I had no idea what the future was going to hold. None. And certainly not how I was going to respond to things relative to this oath or promise about the future. I've spent some time really thinking about my past actions and compared them to what went on. And thankfully, even though not perfect a lot of times, we must embrace the fact that our actions must match our promise to serve God and love others in our community and in our family. An oath. And I'm not asking you to take an oath today. Please bear with me. I'm trying to just correlate how important it is that each one of us must embrace the fact that everything we do, we need to do our very best to make sure that it matches the promises to serve God, to love others in the community, and love our family, even though my brother-in-law has a barking dog, right? The next letter that I want to talk to you about is U for understanding. Again, the ability to understand something, to tolerate them or forgiving them. I'm going to read this little bit that I have written in front of you, and then I just want to give you an example. I want to encourage each one of you today that we should be listening more and speaking less. Bob Murray Sr., standing in front of this church. I, Bob Murray, need to listen more and speak less. Standing in front of my wife, who has put up with me for 41 plus years. I need to listen, dear Noli, and not speak so fast. And the reason being is that it may sound very blunt or very direct, but for me, if my mouth speaks without hearing the whole story, sometimes my actions will not match the story. Sometimes, because I don't listen to everything and I start to open my mouth or take action, it's not going to match what the whole picture really is. Which means that my actions are not focused on what the promise that I would prefer to do in order to honor God in my family, in my community. Our actions now with the COVID and the impact, and I know like it sounds like I'm a COVID goof today. All I'm trying to say is that you all have a taste of what this is like. I'm telling you, this has had a major impact in our whole world. Our whole world. It is critical for me to really listen now, where before I had all this freedom, I could kind of run around and do everything I want, and now my level of communication has shrunk so much that if I just start doing things without looking at the whole picture, there's no way that it's going to match up to needs in the community or in my family. Bob is wasting his time in the timeline that God has given me some resources to do something. And that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. We need to be on game. We need to be in a position where we're ready to do whatever's required in regards to, shall we say, hitting the bullseye, which may need that Bob, because I'm sure you all do fantastic at this, Bob needs to change his heart. Bob needs to truly listen before he jumps into something. I have to be so, what I say, knee-jerk in the things I do, because our community desperately needs you. Desperately needs you. God did not have to promise anything to sinful man in regards to his oath. But the fact that almost all biblical promises are those made by God indicates that his nature is one of grace and faithfulness. You, for understanding. God's forgiveness of us demands that we forgive others. Whew. I'll really have a lightning arrestor standing next to me. Did you hear what I said? That God's forgiveness of us demands that we forgive others. Look past the sin that you may see and remember what he did on the cross. For grace brings responsibility and obligation. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Whew. If there was ever a time, my dear brothers and sisters, for us to stay focused on these things, it is now. R for readiness. The state of being fully prepared for something. It is probable that the reason that we are still, shall we say, at some level of creating some new procedures and policies is that we were not ready for this pandemic. I can remember a time when critical resources, such as like the protective clothing that was needed and trying to get people to serve on the front line, for things happening at the hospital, for patient care and the intake and the social distancing have changed radically. Many of our members in the church here are still currently serving on the front lines in the medical profession. And I just want to say thank you for not quitting. And yes, Linda, you are crazy going to New York. Right? And on the home front, forcing us to shelter in place, schools closed, online learning, businesses closed, and the financial impact to so many families and to so many areas of our lives during this situation has put us in a state where we have really realized that maybe we weren't truly ready to face this crisis. Some, or maybe all of your stress is based so much on trying to what we are going to do for our community and in our family that we had to adjust so radically and so quickly, we didn't know what to do. Excuse me. I mean, I could go to all my neighbors any time prior to this. If there was something they needed, just rap on the door, you know. If I just go to do it. Next thing you know, can't rap on the door, can't do this, can't do that. Like, well, you know, what am I going to do, Lord? Like, how am I going to figure all this out? And then look at our dear brother, Pastor Chris, and his vision for our church. I mean, more than once I've heard that young man say to us that the plan that he had, the kind of the vision, which is his job, and preaching, which is his job, that he cast for us just kind of had to be put in neutral, maybe even backed up a little bit. It had a tremendous impact. Please don't be critical in judging what we've had to do or what other people have had to do, but what are other ways that we can serve to stay on the mission, to be strong, and to be courageous? It can cause a lot of stress to all of us, but being bold and being courageous, I want to encourage you that you are not in this alone. There are definitions of readiness, but some things that I want to share with you in regards to alertness and vigilance and remind you how important it is to keep your guard up. I truly want you to consider how you're going to respond during this time of need. You have no idea what the impact will be on the situation or the individual in the overall time that God has. Don't you dare quit because you can't do the things that you used to do prior to COVID. Don't you dare. Because, see, I believe that sometimes as believers, we feel that, well, you know, and I'll pick on you, my dear young sister, that in her ministry with those that may be struggling with certain things, there's you're looking for an end result. Does that make any sense? And please forgive me, you know, and I didn't even tell you I was going to pick on you, so you can, like, double forgive me after service. But anyway, you know, Lynn's saying, well, you know, if I do this, then maybe this will happen. Does that make any sense? You know, I'm sure in the ministry for, you know, like divorce care and all that, you know, you're like, you're working for a goal. You know, you're expecting some level of this. Some of you, you know, you do other things in your community. I think what's happened is that not in all cases, but in some cases, you feel, well, I can't meet with them because I got to wear a mask. I'm 6 foot back. I'm going to do it by Zoom or, you know, whatever. And I know I'm just grasping right here. But let me go one other level with you. It's like, who says that because you've had to adjust that you're not having an impact? Who told you that? No one? Who told you you're not having an impact? Well, Bob, I don't see the end result. Bob, I can't see that person. Oh, Bob, the only thing I can do is I can text someone. Thank you. Who told you you're not having an impact? I don't know if you saw me earlier, but I brought Kleenexes up here. All right? It used to be real easy. I never used to cry until I started hanging out at this place here a few years back. All right? Someone came up to me 5 minutes before this thing is and just shared a story with me. It wrecked me, because I'm telling you, I want to confess to you, if you knew how many times I don't want to be here, it would make you sick. If you knew how many times I pulled in this parking lot and drove away. Did you hear me? How about you? I'm done. Forget Northwest. I'm done. Like, it's too hard. It's too much hoorah. Until God allows someone to just kind of come in your life and say, I'm glad you did this little thing because of that, this and that. Man, my dear brothers and sisters, we've had to radically change what we're doing for the commission. Radically. Agreed? Don't let Satan tell you that you're not having an impact because it doesn't look the way it always used to do. If there's nothing else that we can do in this church, when we come in together, maintaining proper distance, elbow, hug, whatever you're complying with, we ought to at least remind each other every Sunday, don't quit. Be strong. Be courageous. Stay the pace. I'll share this one more thing with you. My son is quasi a church planner, sent from this church. Do you know they had to give up their building during COVID? Because it's so small. You with me? When they say, do your distance, hoorah, where you got to push out, they couldn't meet anymore. So they were like, what do you mean you can't meet? Now, I'll role play that, all right? I'll tell you the story, and then you pretend it's this place. So he's like, Dad, we don't know what we're going to do. Elders meeting, we're praying, like, how are we going to figure out this mission? How are we going to figure out how to stay the course? So you know what they voted? They voted, well, let's just get rid of the building. Let's get out of the lease, and let's go meet somewhere where we can all meet. And they did. Now, you talk about doing stuff that doesn't look normal. How about if Pastor Chris came in here and COVID's like, okay, we only have 10 people in here, but we can rent, I don't know, pick a cool building, some civic center or whatever, and we're just going to shut everything down here because then at least our 1,000 people or 500 people can meet down there. How crazy is that? But you know why? You know why? Because that's the mission. We have to change because of the situation. It may sound crazy when I tell you that, but I'm telling you, my son wept with me more than once on the phone because they weren't in a building. They weren't in a the way it used to be, shall we say. You have no idea what the impact is on the situation and the individual. Please take time and invest in other people's life. Do whatever you have to do to talk to other people and to share with other people. I made it without crying. So, the next letter in courageous is amazing. Breathtaking. Stunning. Something that causes great wonder. I doubt that each of you go about your daily tasks and not think of yourself as like super amazing, nor do you consider that every day you're leaving a legacy to those around you. Sure, some days you probably wish you could erase about 95% of what you did for the day, but you might be surprised at the impact that you're having, and it is causing great wonder to those around you. So please, do everything you can to make every day count and always understand of the impact that you're having. Your impact is the potential to open the door to the gospel. Your impact in serving your family and in your community is one that will allow the opportunity for the mission to be complete. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Lately, I have had the opportunity to attend some weddings and actually be an officiant over some weddings. Something that I struggled with for years, that I didn't feel qualified. But if you'll allow me to share something, that the one thing that I have found through all this is an aspect of mentoring. A lot of my peers, shall I say, outside the church are all related, kind of like in that fire rescue arena. It's just the way it is. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get out of it, to be honest with you, even though there are times that I'm ready to hang my boots up or whatever you want to call that. But I'm finding that what I thought was more of, shall I say, a systematic thing. In other words, you got to help this couple get through this wedding and, you know, a service, get a license thing. I found that initially what it has allowed me to do, it opens a door for me to have an opportunity to mentor them. I was like, this is interesting. It allows me and my wife, through different materials from Christian writers, to have an opportunity to mentor people. And from that mentoring, right, comes the wedding processes and all the things that with that. But I find that if I tune in a little bit, which sometimes can be hard for me to do, when I tune in after an opportunity when these doors open, it allows an opportunity for me to see other people in a different light. It almost allows for me to not only open the door, but invite them in our home and in an environment where there's conversation about being focused on what God would have for your life, being focused on the roles of the husband, the roles of the wife, and so on and so forth. I know that sounds kind of high end, but the one thing that I'm finding is that even after the wedding, and even after the process, it allows us to be one step closer in that family's life to reach out to them, to talk to them, and to mentor them. So how about you? I'm not asking all of us to go out and start doing weddings and things of that nature, but how about you? Who are some friends that you already know that you know the door is at least halfway open? Who do you know that would allow you to come one step closer at the coffee table or on the front porch, whatever it may be, to just talk to them? Because I think if we truly pay attention and listen to their story, Bob, listen to the whole story. Okay, I hear you. Listen to the whole story and then develop an action, you might be impressed that what you'd be able to do. Pastor Chris is passionate about us completing the mission, being engaged in the Great Commission. That's where it is. That's where it is. It's those people that you know or you meet on a regular basis that you're going to have a major impact in their life. I was super blessed a couple weeks ago when Pastor Chris shared about he went through like a period of depression. You know, he was just kind of worn out at the peak of the COVID, I'm sure. And the impact of the COVID, and then I remember him sitting here, and I'm sure I'm going to mess this up, but it was obvious to me that he was just, you know, it was all kind of drawn in, felt bad, thinking about the loss of some family or whatever, and, you know, he had to, like, get out of it, you know, and realize the basic things that he had. The letter G in courageous is grief. So I share with you with great hope the future, shall we say, the future that we have in Christ. Because with grief, at times there are deep sadness caused by losses, caused by things that causes problems. Every day we face the risk, directly or indirectly, in dealing with situations that may lead to grief. How we handle those things, what triggers us as an individual, and how we respond to those things is basically up to you and where you're at, but we must be careful when we truly know what those triggers are that are going to depress us generically and interfere with us in being bold and being courageous. You're not alone in the fact that all of us have been exposed to grief. Some more than I can even imagine. Deep inside, there are times that we tend to bury these things and hold tight to emotions that will in regards to us being able to have proper action in situations and interfere with the mission, interfere with us being able to be strong and be courageous. We must come to the point in our life to allow God through His Word and the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us through our grief so that it does not interfere with our work in the Great Commission. During COVID, a young man at the end of my street who I'd had an opportunity to mentor, who was also an officer in the fire department as a captain, took his life, put a gun to his head, and committed suicide while his wife and daughter were on the premise. It was early in the morning when I got a phone call and, you know, to come down there, and I know my brother here understands the loss for Mike Curtis, but I want to share with you that during that few minutes when I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do right in the middle of this COVID hoorah, you know, like, okay, Lord, like, what am I supposed to do? Sure, you can go there and hang out and all that kind of stuff, but man, I'm telling you, you got to understand me. Like, when I get into those kind of things, like, I want to fix it. You with me? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Affect immediately, cover the body, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, like, we're going to do this thing, and I'm going to talk to the wife, and, you know, we're going to get coffee and get bagels, and we're going to pray, and we're going to bring all these people in and all that. Man, I needed to shut up. Stop it, Bob. I'm telling you all to listen to the whole story, and here I am, ding-a-ling, like, I'm ready to go, and I haven't heard the whole story. It was only the grace of God that allowed me to go up in the stairway, and as I was walking up the stairway, I could hardly walk at the firehouse because everybody was upstairs. I'm like, okay, why can't I walk? You know, am I nauseated or are my shoes untied? You know, I don't know. So I left in a little bit of a haste. But then I realized that I need to go upstairs and do something that I normally never do. You know what it was? Shut up. Well, I'm sure God has never told you that, but He's told me that a few times. Bob, would you just zip your lip? Okay. I went upstairs and I just listened. Listen. Listen and allow God and many others, certainly not me. I am not tooting my horn. There were lots of people there that God used in a great way, but just listen. Grief. Another friend of mine, Jerry Johnson, who's now home, a good friend of mine in the fire service. He's 42 years old, got real sick, went to the hospital, not COVID-related, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, he's in ICU. They got somebody who's doing all the medical power, whatever, and he wakes up and he says, I want to die, disconnect the tubes, all that kind of stuff. 42 years old. 42 years old. Are you crazy? Hurting. Suffering. Action plan. What am I going to do, Bob? Got to do something. Got to go see him. Oh, I can't. You know, because of hoorah, COVID. So what am I going to do? He's not going to answer his phone. He's intubated. So what am I going to do? Well, you know what? I'm going to text him. Maybe somebody will read the thing. The first thing I want to do, I said, if you're going to kill yourself, I'm never going to forgive you. And if you're going to kill yourself, I'm going to come there and kill you first for even saying it. But no, this is what I said. Be strong and courageous. This has been a couple months ago. Be strong and be courageous. God has a mighty plan for you, my brother. Don't quit. That was it. Unbeknownst to me, 80 other people were texting him within a series of 48 hours. Not my words, but words of encouragement. A good friend of mine wrote him a 4-page email about you can't give up. Like, you have so much. We need you. The community needs you. Your family needs you. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to ask that guy to come and preach one day. It's amazing. So Jerry is home, and he called me Friday. I called him first, because if he doesn't answer right away, then I start texting. So he called me Friday. I called him. He picked up the phone. Hey, Bob, raspy voice, whatever. And he's crying. I hate all this sometimes. He's crying. And you know what he told me? He told me about all these other people that have been blessing him. I mean, he just, you know, he did, it wasn't like just me. I want to make that very clear. And this is what he told me. He says, I can't believe that I'm alive. He says, I just can't believe it. And as soon as I'm well, I want to come to your church. If I'd have done my normal stuff, it wouldn't have happened. If I didn't listen, if I'd have said I can't visit him, so there's no need to text, because texting is not effective. There's no need to do anything because this is not effective. So, I'm figuring the only way that I'm going to be able to stand in front of you and tell you that we have to be very careful of things that trigger us because it interferes with our action step. I'm going to take a step publicly that I have never done before publicly in this church. I am haunted by ground zero at times. I confess that. And I do not want it to be something that causes me to stumble and not stay on mission. So when those times on the calendar gets close, and I tend to shrink and hide in things that I'd prefer not to be involved in, I, Bob Murray, stand before you. I tell you that I'm going to try to do what I told you to do. And things that trigger you, sometimes not even realizing it, that makes me understand that I am weak and I need God to help me through that, to allow me to serve Him in any way possible. Grief. The emotion of sorrow. In the scriptures in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, we're going to have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. To overcome, to prevail. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with, please bear with me, Bob. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Enjoy. I guess you know why I picked that after G. Whew. Enjoy. T- Take delight or pleasure in regardless of what the current situation is you face every day. We need to slow down and focus on things we enjoy. Social distancing is gowns, gloves, face shield, places closed, on and on and on. So let's take some time to enjoy every day, to pause and enjoy something or especially someone and encourage them. I enjoy when I see you. I enjoy when I see you serving others. I enjoy when you grin. I enjoy when you text or you give a call. I enjoy when you tell me that you're hurting and we can talk things out. I take delight that God is going to see us through, for He is in control. The letter O for courageous, succeed in dealing with the problems. Some problems can be short, some are long. A simple example of this, shall we say, is that how critical it is for us to just remain vigilant, even though we feel that we're being overwhelmed in today's world, and certainly overwhelmed in so many things we see. The unknown. Oh, not familiar. And we've gone through some changes here at church. Some of our stress can be found deep down inside. Strange now with the unknown about the future and even our daily structure. I was wondering what it was going to be like when it was phase one, phase one and a half, phase nine, whatever phase we're going to go through, when's school going to start, what's happening with the stock market, who's going to, all the politics. I just want to encourage you to be strong and courageous, for God has a plan for each of us. So enjoy the sunshine today. Take trust in God that He has a grand plan for each of us as individuals in our family and in our community. That photo that you see there is on a pier two blocks from the place that Nolly and I hang out down in Lewis. That's my morning peace. I never thought I'd like sunshine so much. I'll try to go there as often as I can and just think, and I remember just how much God truly loves me. My last one for courageous is stable. Letter for S for stable, not likely to give way and firmly fixed. Recently, I watched a Disney movie, and that will happen to you when you have 11 grandkids. And the movie was called Onward. And in one part, the younger brother was holding this like wizard stick. He's casting out this energy thing to this imminent danger. I'm sure those of you, there's a more technical definition, but just bear with me. The danger was so strong that it pushed back his younger brother, and he feared that he would lose his grip on this wizard stick to keep the bad stuff away. His brother rushed in, and instead of taking the wizard stick from his younger brother, he leaned with all his force up against his younger brother and held him so that that wizard stick could just hold the danger back. Take a moment and let that sink in, please. That he did not take control. He did not take the stick. He just decided that he saw that there was danger, and whoever was in the front, it was struggling. So he just leaned in. He did not send him to a program. He did not pray for him. He didn't text him. He acted instantly, sacrificially. Oh, Bob, it's a Disney movie or whatever. Just chill out. He acted. And he leaned up because he knew he had something to give that person. So he leaned in, and eventually the danger, you know, detonated and all that crazy stuff, and it went away. In the season of our life, and certainly the life of our church, we need to be unified to support our leaders in the Great Commission. We need to lean in and not take the stick. We need to lean in and trust those that are in authority over us. So I recap some things that I said today. for C for character, for O for oath, for U for understanding, for R for readiness, for A for amazing, G for grief and thank you, E for enjoy, and O for overcome, U for unknown, and S for stable. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. And thank you so much for allowing me to speak from my heart today for this family, the Murray household. We love you all. Thank you.